Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And lately we've been running the DNR's weekly fishing report on the our Friday morning newscast. I've been kind of just adding it there at the end, talking about the fishing conditions, especially in Keweenaw Bay and different things throughout Michigan, some extra fishing tips. Thought it was kind of a nice way to get our weekend going, especially if you are a fishing enthusiast. I know I've enjoyed my time out on the lake and the rivers myself, so I kind of enjoy doing it. And I thought it would be a good time to bring in somebody from the DNR. We'll talk about different species of fish that are available in the area. Maybe we'll get a fishing tip or two. Who knows? We'll find out. And to help us do that, I brought in George Madison. He is the fisheries manager for the Western UP. George, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All right, George, you mentioned about how busy you are during this time of year. We had a little trouble just, you know, scheduling to have you come in because you have so many things going on. What kind of things is the fisheries manager doing right now during this year that keeps you so busy?
Well, the spring is the general start of fishing season. We just finished the smelt runs and the steelhead runs. And one of the things that's keeping us very busy right now is fish stocking. Folks might have seen our hatchery trucks out on the road trying to get all our fish out of the hatchery and into the lakes and streams. Also, walleye rearing is a big component of our spring work. Our ponds are going to be harvested the week of June 22nd. So we try to stay on top of those to make sure the fish are doing well. A lot of tourists plan to come to the UP in end of May and early June, so we do a lot of work with tourists, tourist bureaus, people calling, wanting to know where to camp, where to be able to catch a walleye or bluegill. So indeed, the period of May and June is an extremely busy time for us at in any of our fisheries offices.
Well, how important is it to do the stocking, because I assume then there's just natural replenishment from year to year is not enough to keep up with the demand.
Some lakes have good natural reproduction. A place like Lake Gogebic, you have natural reproduction of walleye. But we have other areas. We try to make sure that there's good fishing throughout Michigan. So some lakes that don't have good natural reproduction, we can supplement them by putting walleye or bass or pike or trout into these waters and bolster those fisheries. So if a community has a lake that doesn't have good walleye natural reproduction, then we try to make sure that we focus attention on that.
How do you monitor and maintain, you know, to know how much to maintain that at?
The lakes and streams are the kind of more priority streams. The larger lakes and streams, they're surveyed on a six-year interval, so we know the state of the fishery, if the population is up or down, or if there's a need for stocking. Excuse me. And through time, we've been able to fine-tune our stocking levels of what is an appropriate amount of fish to put in a lake to sustain a good sport fishery. So the surveys are the first thing we do, and then we evaluate those surveys during the winter. We meet with citizens at public meetings and talk about the data that we've collected and what it means, and listen to the people, what they would like in their area, if they want to see a musky fishery, or if they want to see a walleye fishery or trout fishery. And often we try to have a diversity of sport fish opportunities so that in any area you've got walleye or trout or salmon or something to fish for.
And those surveys, how do you collect that information?
We have nets, trap nets that we put in the water, and the nets are emptied on a daily basis, so the fish swim into the nets generally at night. We come in the morning and empty it, and we weigh and measure all the fish. We take what we call age structures. These would be their spines or scales so that we can determine the age. So from that we know how fast the fish are growing, if they're growing at the state average growth rate, or if they're growing too slow. We also have what we call electrofishing boats. These are large boats that that induce an electrical current into the water. We generally do this at night when the fish are in the shallows. It temporarily stuns the fish. We can dip them up and then do the same thing, weigh, measure, and get scale samples on them. Collectively, then all that information gives you a picture of what the fish assemblage is in that lake. And then from there we know, does it need stocking? Are the regulations working on there? Could we liberalize regulations? So we learn a lot from those.
Do you learn anything from talking to anglers that have been out fishing?
Oh, yes, yes. Anglers are our eyes and ears because, you know, on many lakes, we can only be there once every 6 years. And if something is occurring, say we've got a trout lake and maybe a pike fishery has got an established center, the people, through talking with them, will let us know what they're seeing. And it's interesting if what they're seeing kind of goes along with the data that we're collecting, or if it's vastly different, then we know that we need to get in there and take another look. So, yeah, the citizens, the property owners on the lake, the fishermen, fisherwomen, they're indeed our eyes and ears, and we appreciate communicating with them about what they're seeing.
I know fishermen will be sometimes approached by somebody when they're coming back off the lake, and they'll, you know, somebody's there to ask them questions. That some, you know, they might get nervous about, you know, when they're asking how many fish did you catch, what did you catch them with, and that's not to catch anybody doing anything wrong. I guess if you are doing something wrong, you might want to worry, but it's really, that's part of the just gathering information process.
Correct. Those are referred to as our creel census clerks, and we have them at Great Lakes sites and then also inland sites. And that helps us understand if we're stocking brown trout or steelhead, are people catching them? And as you have mentioned, they don't have law enforcement duties, and they want to have people be able to trust them. So if they see a short walleye in the boat or one fish over the bag limit, they're not going to report you. They're there to collect biological data and to see what is the catch rate. Are people catching three fish a day? Are they limiting out? Or are they getting skunked? So that information is very, very important. What we remind people is that helps us design where we need to stock fish. So if we're stocking a port and nobody's catching them, then we'll look to possibly move that stocking location maybe to another area. So if people are catching fish, it's good to report it.
Now, there's parts of the Western UP that's part of the experimentation about allowing people to catch more trout in a couple of different places. Are you also monitoring that?
Yes, there's eight streams in the UP where we've gone to evaluating a 10-fish brook trout bag limit. The brook trout bag limit used to always be 10 fish, 10 fish possession per day. In the year 2000, through public meetings, there was desire to reduce that to 5 fish a day. We didn't see where a lot of trout fishermen were limiting out, getting 5 fish a day. And also with the price of gas, the cost of getting out into the woods and streams, we heard from a lot of people that they might go fishing only once or twice a summer, and a 10-fish bag limit wouldn't harm the streams. So we are evaluating. In the local area here, we have the East Branch of the Huron River and the East Branch of the Ontonagon River, as well as the Upper Dead River system in Marquette. And there's some streams down by Gwynn and over in the east end of the UP. We are evaluating them through a postcard survey, through creel survey, and an online website, through our DNR website, where you can provide comments. And quite honestly, I've been down there numerous times through the spring trout opener, and there's very few people fishing the brook trout streams. It's not like what we've seen, you know, 20, 30 years ago. People just aren't getting out on streams like they used to.
You know, I wondered about that because it seems like in this area where outdoor sports is so huge, ice fishing looks to be, visually anyways, more popular than regular fishing. I don't know if that is true. It just seems anecdotal because you can see, of course, the shanties out on the ice. But I have no problem running into people who enjoy hunting in this area. But fishing is not as busy or popular as I would have imagined.
The ice fishing, indeed, is very popular. It's easy to get out and fish. And the boat fishing, we're still seeing a lot of boats go out. But the stream fishing, I think it's, you got to enjoy it because there's bugs, you're tripping over rocks and snags and getting a hook caught in the branches and things like that. So there's people that love it and love the adventure and sport of it. And there's other people that, if they're going to go fishing, they'd rather go out on a boat and be able to maybe troll a lake or body of water.
Well, I can certainly understand that. You know, though, to me, there's a bit of a lure to shoreline fishing, because if you go out on a boat, usually you've got to make a day out of it, but you can go fishing for a short time if you're going to do it on the shore of a stream. If the fish aren't biting, you don't want to take off, or maybe you want to stay, you have a little bit more control, whereas you're out in a boat, again, you're, you know, usually going to be taking a longer day of it, and you can even, if you want to spend some time alone, doing it on the shore is usually, for me anyways, a better way.
Yeah, sitting in a lawn chair and casting from shore, that's a very restful and enjoyable sport.
Does your area that you monitor expand or extend out into the Great Lakes, or are you more concerned about the inland waterways?
We manage both the inland and Great Lakes, including the waters around Isle Royale as well.
Oh, really?
So we have the entire West UP. So, and there's equal focus. There was a time we put a lot more attention on Great Lakes salmon, steelhead, trout fisheries like that. In the last few years, we're starting to change some of that attention to inland lakes. We've started a bluegill rearing program and stocking bluegills in some of the area waters to try to create what we call a hook and bobber fishery for families and moms and dads, people that want to get out and fish for panfish. So traditionally, we focused on trout and walleye, and now we're looking at other species to try to, as I mentioned earlier in your program, to have a diversity of fishing opportunities in an area.
Now, does the cost for fishing on the Great Lakes differ from that from being inland?
No, it's the same fee.
Okay, what are those costs?
The annual license is $26. You have to buy what's called a DNR sport card. Once you have that, then you're in good shape. But $26 for an annual, or you can do a daily license for $10. Or if you want to fish a three-day weekend, like a holiday weekend, then it's $30. So I've got family members, they might only go fishing once or twice in a summer, so they'll buy the daily license. But somebody like myself that fishes quite often, the annual license is quite a bargain. And when I look at what I might spend going out to dinner compared to what it costs, $26 for a year of recreation, that's getting a good benefit for what you pay.
Well, $30 for a holiday weekend, but $26 for an annual?
Yes.
So it would make more sense to buy the annual,
yes,
and fish all year.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure I had that right. Well, one of the reasons why we're also talking about this is this particular weekend, it's now Sunday morning, so you would have a full day ahead of you here today if you were to head out. You can fish this weekend for free.
Yes, this is our annual free fishing weekend. We have one in the winter and one in the summer, and for Saturday and Sunday this year, of this weekend, you can fish all the open waters. You have to still abide by all the size limits and bag limits and regulations, but the fishing license is not required.
And how does this help?
It, for people that don't fish a lot, it gives them an opportunity to get out and try the sport and see if they like it. Again, families or people that are looking to do something other than chores around the house or watching TV. It gives you a chance to get out and have some fun, catch some fish, and see maybe you like the sport.
Yeah, it sounds like an opportunity, too, to bring someone along who maybe doesn't fish very much. Maybe you'll enjoy it, but now you can bring somebody to come along who, you know, this may be the only time they go out for the entire year. And, you know, you got a little bit of company, and somebody else is trying it out as well.
I think that's a good point you made, and you know, we always talk about family fishing or taking a kid fishing, but it's just as much fun to take a senior citizen or somebody that's maybe at a nursing home or doesn't get out, take them out and do some shore fishing. For people that are wondering, where can I go, you know, where can I shore fish, they can call the DNR office. I'm out of the Baraga office. They can call and we'll give them advice. Locally, a spot here that I've taken my dad to is the South Entry, the federal dock down there. And there's a nice break wall there. You can sit on a lawn chair, cast out there, and you catch rock bass and smallmouth bass and occasional pike. So it's if people looking to take somebody out fishing this weekend, that'd be a good spot right there.
Yeah, that would be a very good one.
And there's a restroom there, so the demand occurs, at least you got a restroom there.
You mentioned contacting the Borrego office. Do you have a phone number for that?
Yes. And as everybody's aware, the 906 area code covers the whole UP, so the main number is 353-6651.
Do people need to report what they catch, like similar to when you bag a deer?
No. It's if they wish to call us, let us know how they're doing, that's fine, but there's no mandatory reporting.
Talking right now with George Madison. He's the fisheries manager for the Western UP. George, so far, okay, we're into June now, actually about halfway through the month. Based on some conversations that you've had and some initial information, how is the season so far for fishing?
It's been good. We're comparing with the last two springs where we had winter that lasted in through May, the real cold weather. You remember last year, the water was so cold, Lake Superior never warmed up at all. So this year we have what we're regarding as a more normal year. The fish, in the early part of the summer, the fish are near the shallows. They're feeding on bait fish, so they're probably easier to catch this time of year. People have been getting out, been getting salmon, steelhead, brown trout, and splake in Keweenaw Bay. And then the inland lakes, the bluegills are just coming out of their beds right now, bluegills and crappie. So the people that like pan fishing, this is a great time to get out for those.
Now, my roots go back to Florida, where when I used to fish with my dad when I was a kid, we always went largemouth bass fishing. And I've got fond memories of my mother frying up fried largemouth bass nuggets. And I don't think I'll ever have them again. I mean, caught from the fresh waters of Florida. How's bass fishing up here?
Bass fishing is very overlooked here. It's very good fishing, and because we have so many other opportunities, people always target walleye or pike or other game fish, but we've got some fantastic bass fishing. Even in the Portage waterway here, there's some large bass and lots of them.
Well, so far they've been safe from me. I've tried a little bit. I haven't caught any yet. They must know I'm coming and go to hide. What about the health of the fish here? Every few years, a government agency, the DEQ, especially around Torch Lake, will do a survey, and they'll talk about the health of the fish. From the DNR standpoint, how do you see especially in the local waters, the health of the fish?
The health of the fish is very good. We're lucky we've got very clean, fresh water. And we do a lot of surveillance for what we call pathogens to see if there's any viruses or any of the invasive organisms coming in. The health can be broken into the physical health of the fish and then also the chemical component. And so that's where people need to pay a little bit of attention, is that throughout the world there's mercury in fish and other chemical components. The DEQ on their website has information about what they call eat safe fish, the advisory of what to eat. And generally, the top predator fish have higher levels of what we call contaminants than the lower of the food chain. So fish such as bluegill and perch wouldn't have as much chemical contaminants as maybe a lake trout or an old walleye or an old pike. So the general rule is women of childbearing years, infants and children should, I think it's about one meal per week is the general advisory. And the portion, the size that they've come out now, the portion should be about the size of your hand. So a little kid, obviously, has got a smaller hand, they've got a smaller body. They should eat a lesser sized portion of a fish than a grown adult. For specific information about any lake or stream, they can call our office. We'll provide that. I referred to the website, but some people aren't comfortable navigating the website. So they can call our office, and we can provide them that information. Or they can call the DEQ office out of Marquette, and I don't have that number offhand. Okay. But they're trying to make the advisory simple to understand. So they're saying one meal per week, and the portion should be about the size of your hand. And if you're eating a lower food chain fish such as a bluegill, you can eat more of those than if you catch a 48 inch northern pike. That's probably going to have a higher level of contaminants.
And those recommendations, those are sort of like Great Lakes wide though, right?
The Great Lakes and inland, yeah. We do regular monitoring throughout all our lakes.
Is there anywhere locally here that is sort of a red flag area?
No.
Good.
Well, I'd have to look at the data. Generally, the lakes that are in what we call the lake effect zone, they get more precipitation than lakes that are inland, like southern Gogebic County. So we see higher levels of mercury in our near shore lakes of Lake Superior than our inland lakes. And offhand, I wouldn't know which ones are a little bit higher, but they're, again, the general advisory is one meal per week and portion the size of your hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the subject of safe eating, I guess we can sort of transition to just some other safety things to keep in mind if you're going to be out fishing. I'm sure every year you come across stories of people who, you know, were a little bit careless about, you know, what they did and going out on a boat or at the time or being alone, certainly when alcohol is involved at times. Well, what are some things that you would recommend people do and then not do?
Every year we see, and probably your listeners, some tragic stories of somebody that drowned, somebody that's been fishing for 50, 60 years, and they drowned, they fell out of their boat, and you'd think, you know, that person is very skilled at fishing and boating, and they never have a life jacket on. It's a simple fall in the water. I guess your body has a reaction to make you gasp, and you can inhale water very, very fast if you hit the cold water. So the people hear it every year is wear your life jacket and instead of be sitting on it. And as you mentioned, alcohol, some people like to have a beverage or two out there. If you're in the sun and in the waves, they might forget their land legs and when you're sitting in a boat. So they need to watch that they're not over-enjoying themselves out in the water. Those are two primary things. The sun, people can get sunburn very easy, particularly children with the light reflecting off the water, so good suntan lotion is advised. And watch the weather. You know, we're all aware that storm fronts, lightning storms come in very, very fast, so pay attention to the weather.
Yeah, it's good if you have a cell phone. Most of the areas here are, well, I don't say most of them. There are some areas that cell phone coverage is not very good. But if you are anywhere near the near town and you can monitor those, you know, alerts on your phone, pay attention to them. They're there to help you so that if you get a severe weather alert, certainly follow them. Don't take any risks.
Yeah, those winds can come in quick.
Now, what about if you wanted to get, like, the latest information on fishing conditions? Are you able to do that through the DNR?
Yeah, our website, we have a annual fishing report. It can be sent to your phone. It can be sent to your email on a weekly basis. So you can go to our website, and there's a little red envelope. You click onto that, and it'll link you to that information. And for people that aren't comfortable with computers, they can call our offices. We put out our reports on Wednesdays, so once a week, people can call and find out what's happening. Or they can call myself if they're wondering, you know, I want to fish Bobcat Lake, you know, how's it been doing lately? And we can look at the survey information and tell them, you know, what we've been seeing in the specific bodies of water. And our reception staff are real good at our offices to be able to get that information out to people.
And I encourage people to check out QNLReport.com after Friday mornings. Again, we are now posting the DNR's weekly fishing report. I do a little bit of a summary on the Keweenaw Report at the end of the 7 o'clock news. But, of course, I can only touch on a little bit of the information that's provided there. There's a lot of different locations mentioned and how fishing's going. Reports from people who have been out fishing recently that are included in those reports. So you want to check those out. We got a whole day here to do it. Free fishing weekend. It runs till midnight tonight. So if you have not already been out taking advantage of it, you want to do that now because it's the only one for this season. You'll have to wait till the lakes freeze in order to get out there and use it again. What we really hope is that you enjoy the sport. I don't know how you can't this day and age. It's nice to kind of unwind and slow things down a little bit. And it's also, you know, nothing more exciting than, you know, catching that big one on the end of the line. So get out there and enjoy it today and hopefully pick up your license and, you know, make a habit of it. George, I want to thank you for coming in. I know how busy you are. I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thanks again for having me, and again for your listeners. If they have any questions, call our offices. We'll make sure they get their questions answered and good information about where to go.
All right, great. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.